Hi, welcome to another episode of Wanderment. This is Sarah and Tegan, and our episode today is on, are you a believer?
There's lots of things you can believe in, but we're talking specifically about the things that are a great debate, you know, like Yetis and UFOs and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we're talking about, are you a believer?
So, should I tell my story or you want to tell yours first?
Why don't you go first, and we'll talk a little bit about what you saw, and is it real?
Yeah, so I'd say about 5 years ago, Eric and I were driving up here in the winter time, and it was a full-on blizzard. Like, it was this
snow flying all the directions.
Yeah, everywhere. Wind, snow was everywhere. Yeah. And Eric and I were about, like, we were in that spot that's,
and what,
like,
time of day is it?
It's at night.
So it's a blizzard at night.
It's a blizzard at night. Pitch dark, super scary. Like, we're driving like super slow because the roads are really bad. And all of a sudden, we were kind of at, like, in that Idaho area, like Geneva area.
So you're headed to Star Valley.
Yeah, so we're headed to Star Valley. And all of a sudden, I look over and there's a Yeti, like a full blown Yeti. And his arms are in the air and he's like kind of flaring them up in the air.
He's dancing in the snow.
Well, yeah. And he's kind of like just kind of jumping over this fence. Like, I seriously, it was a full blown, like, I saw the face, I saw the hair, I saw everything. But the thing was, Eric was in the car with me too. And he just thought it was like an elk. Like, just an elk had gotten caught on the fence or something. And I was convinced.
There's kind of a big difference between a Yeti and an elk.
I was convinced it was a Yeti. And the funny thing is like, just a few years ago, Eric and I were discussing the Yeti conversation about how I'm a believer of the Yeti, and how if any Yeti's going to hang out anywhere, it would be in Wyoming, because there's so few people.
Well,
and
clearly, yeah. If you're going to be a Yeti, you're going to live here.
Yeah. And so he was like, we were just chatting about it, and he's like, you know, I don't know why I don't. He's like, I don't know why I convinced myself it wasn't. So he still is kind of on the border of that he thought it was just an elk. But then I kind of have him convinced, because I was like, you're in the car with me. Like, you need to help prove this with me.
The great scientific expedition.
Yeah. Proving the Yeti. And so I'm a believer. I'm a believer in the Yeti. Like, I full on, like, believe.
Winter snowstorm believer in the Yeti.
Yeah, and it was white, so it was like, you know, it was,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, it has to be a Yeti if it's white.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise it would be Bigfoot.
Yeah, well, I think they're the same thing. Like, they just get winter fur and, like, kind of like a fox.
Winter fur and summer fur.
Yeah, yeah, because that's how they blend in so well.
Oh.
So, this is my theory.
So, Yeti and Bigfoot are the same thing, and they live in Wyoming.
I'm a believer.
Okay.
So.
I don't know that I'm a believer in the Yeti... But when I was in high school, a group of friends and I were playing night games at Starview Park here in the beautiful metropolis of Afton. And there was probably 10 or 15 of us there, you know, just doing night games. And we had a UFO fly over top of us. True story. Flew over. And we're like, we all look at each other. We're like, nah. Well, then it came back and we're like, whoa. It was like, you know, the classic disc looking thing, moving slow, light, whatever. After it came back the second time, we all went home because we're like, yeah, we're not waiting for a third pass. We don't want to get snatched. So, yeah, when you start talking about stuff that you know, those kind of things, you start thinking, well, did we really see what we saw, or did our minds, you know? But there were 15 of us that saw this thing do a double pass over Starview Park. So whatever it was definitely unidentified, and it was flying, and it was an object. So I don't know if it was alien, but definitely fits in the UFO category. So there you go.
Yeah, I read this book. I think it's called A Long Walk. And in the book, these people are traveling from Russia down, I think somewhere down in Asia or something like that. And they actually were in the high Himalayas, and they actually saw a Yeti. Like, they said it was a large, like, animal, like, with lots of hair, and they saw it. And so when I read that book, I'm like, see, I know they're real. Like,
yeah, that's what you do, though, right? When you see something that you can't explain, you try and find other people,
yeah,
that have had the same experience, you know. Yeah. and then you start focusing on that, and then, you know, however that works. But yeah, it's interesting that the human brain, like, because Eric was in the car with you,
yeah,
he saw something completely different.
Yeah,
I was in a park with 15 people. We all saw something flying around, and all of us are just like, but none of us to this day will be like, oh yeah, I believe in UFOs and la la la. I mean, it's funny that your brain
Yeah, your brain can play tricks with you. Like, I was convinced, and Eric...
And still said, are.
Yeah, and I still am.
Whatever I
sound, I mean, I'm not, like, yeah, a huge advocate. Like, I'm not out there hunting for him, but, like... Like, if people talk about them, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I even have a t-shirt that says Believe and has a Yeti on it. Nice. So,
yeah. Well, and you've had your picture taken with a Yeti in the Northwest.
Oh, yeah. That's a good place for them to hide, too, would be in the Upper Peninsula, or in that area.
And that's where the Bigfoot legend is from. So
yeah, in Washington.
If your theory is true and they change fur color.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? You never know. So, what do you think about fairies?
I believe in fairies. Totally do. That was way Peter Pan of me to say that, but I totally do. I think they're awesome.
Yeah. I mean, having little girls, I mean, my girls believe in like fairies and unicorns and, you know, all those little mystical creatures.
But, absolutely.
I mean, when we go in a forest, I mean, it's hard for them to not believe.
They do look. They do look for those kind of
things. They do. Yeah. They do. And they look for like perfect little places for them to be. Like just the other day, we were hiking on the Prater Vista Trail and there was some cute little fairy gardens that some kids, some built there, and it was awesome. Like I just love
whoever did the fairy gardens on that trail. That's awesome.
Yeah, they did a wonderful job. They had these great little houses and they just built these ones out of rock, and I just think,
and it's, they have little signs and that kind of stuff too, like little like house sort of things, and like there was different, yeah, cool.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, I think things like this is just so good for a child's imagination. I mean, even for an adult, I think it's good for, you know, us to be
believe. Yeah, you got to have a little bit of fun in your head.
So. Yeah, just have that magic of believing in certain things. So, I mean, people might think you're crazy, but I mean, hey, well, whatever.
Maybe you are crazy. It's okay. No, several years ago, my then 4-year-old niece, we had been talking about fairies. And of course, the legend is that if you find a ring of mushrooms, then the fairies gathered there and danced the night before. And if you're the first person to step into the ring of mushrooms and make a wish, your wish will come true. It's like a big deal. Anyway, so of course I'm telling this to my nieces and nephews, and my then 4-year-old niece, she called me one day and she was so excited because she'd found a fairy ring in the front yard. And she's like, you've got to come over and see it. You know, and I was busy doing some stuff. So I was like, I'll come over. So it was a little while before I got over there. And she's just sitting on the porch and she's just both livid and devastated at the same time, the way that a 4-year-old can be. She is so mad and so heartbroken all at once because my brother, her father, was mowing the lawn and he had mowed over the fairy ring before she had a chance to step into it and make her wish. So she was angry at her dad. She was angry at the fairies. She was devastated she didn't get to make a wish. She was just, anyway, and my poor brother is looking at me thinking, why did you teach my kid about fairies? Anyway, so yeah, it's, I mean, to her, it's very real.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this year, for some reason, we've had a lot of mushrooms pop up at my house. I don't know why. We've had a ton.
Fairies dancing in
New York. Yeah. And Goldie, she is convinced that we've had fairies visit us nightly. And that's why we have so many, like, mushrooms popping all over our house, because the fairies have visited.
And they like your house. You know, what kid doesn't want to live in a house that the fairies like?
Yeah, for sure. So I think that it's good for kids to believe in those cute little things.
Well, and I do think, you know, that we all have a need to believe in something. You know, there's some inherent part of us that needs to believe in something magical or something mystical. Or I mean, you look at the history of the human kind, we've have stories and legends and things to explain how life is, how it is. And we need something to believe in, you know, whether it's each other or some higher power or, you know, fairy tales and legends or whatever. There's this underlying drive to believe in something.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, those fictional stories that have been passed on from generations to generations, I think that they're great for everyone's imagination and just for, you know, opening your mind to believing in something. So, I mean, some of my favorite fictional, I mean, I love, like, I'm total, like, a Potter nerd, like, a Harry Potter nerd, and, you know, and I love that just because it just makes me think, like, what, is it real? Like, could, you know, are we muggles? You know, like, thinking, you know, like, these...
I'm definitely not a muggle. I belong to the Wizarding Clan,
for sure. So, you know, I think that, you know, I think it's just good for everyone's imagination, and those stories, you know, are what were passed on, you know, and taught around you know, like around the fire, and you know like these old cowboys, these imagined cowboys, or just even just like, you know, families just, you know, being around and telling these wonderful stories. So
yeah, I've been fascinated with folklore and stories since I was little. I was super lucky to be born into a family that reads books, and so you know, things like Grimm's fairy tales or those sorts of things. I grew up with those, but I also grew up with American folklore. So my father would read to me about Rip Van Winkle and Paul Bunyan and, you know, Mike Fink. So I have this whole like childhood of these American legends, as well as, you know, the more known stories of, you know, Cinderella or Hansel and Gretel or those sorts of things, you know, and some of my very favorite authors. Of course, I love Hans Christian Andersen, those sorts of things. And just that whole idea of the fairy tale idea. So I've actually, yeah, I could be nerdy about fairy tales, but in studying the origin of these fairy tales, it's fascinating to me that each culture in the entire world has the same stories. You know, everyone has a Cinderella story.
Yeah, they all have a different type of Cinderella story.
So you think about the American Indians, they have a story called Little Burnt Face, and it's about a girl that falls into the fire and burns her face. Well, Cinderella is called Cinderella because of the cinders in the fire in France. You know, and then there's the story about the first slipper versus the glass slipper. You know, different cultures have different stories. But in the American Indian version, the girl grows up and marries the chief. I mean, it is what it is. In the French version, you know, she grows up and marries the prince. In the Russian version, she grows up and marries the czar. I mean, it's a situation, and they're all the same story. And to me, that sort of speaks to, you know, one united human culture that for, you know, however many years ago, split into different groups, and they have the same stories. So, you know, that good triumphs over evil, you know, that sort of idea of the fairy tale, it's the world culture story.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think it gets you through any trial in life, like some of these, you know, fairy tales. I mean, I think about like my husband's life. I mean, he kind of had a, you know, he had a rough childhood, and I mean, he kind of had a Cinderella story. And so, you know, but like now he's thriving and doing awesome. I mean, granted, he did marry a queen, but I mean,
absolutely true.
But still, you know, like, you know, he, you know, like, I think that it gets people through some of those trials. Like, it helps you think like, oh, because this person was able to get through this trial or get through this challenge, I can believe that I can do it as well.
Absolutely. So, it's just sort of a sense of hope.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Anyway, so the question to ask yourself, I guess, today is, are you a believer, and what exactly do you believe? So, yeah, thanks for joining us for another podcast.
See you next time.